ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are celebrating Sri Govardhan Puja. Govardhan means who makes bigger or who nourishes the cows, the senses, the earth, particularly the cows. The name of that hill, who is known as Giriraj, the king of all hills. To our terrestrial vision, situated in Uttar Pradesh, in the land of Bharat. Is that correct? Well, it's not only in UP. A little bit of Govardhan goes in Rajasthan also. Did you know that? If you do Govardhan Parikrama, you go short piece through Rajasthan. Anyway, these are boundaries made by men, not made by God. Then we should call it Giri Rajasthan. He's the real Raja. Named after the Rajputs. Now there are no Kshatriyas left in India. Only by caste. So, it's festival. Just perfect season for observing a festival. Not too hot, not too cold. Especially in that area, most of the year it's either much too hot or very cold. But just at this season, it's just pleasant. Oh, and of course, sometimes it's too wet also. But the rains should have finished by now. So it's just a perfect season. And because the rains should have been there, monsoon rains, then the grass is all very nice. Much of the year in most of India, there's not much grass for the cows in most places, because in most places there's only one monsoon a year now. There used to be two monsoons every year, but with the progress of Kali Yuga, only one. The second monsoon only touches Tamil Nadu. And the first monsoon mostly doesn't reach Tamil Nadu. So it's, the second monsoon should come just after this, so it's just a nice time. So it's the festival of worshipping Govardhan, and Govardhan is worshipped by Krishna. Krishna inaugurated this festival because Govardhan nourishes the cows, and we worship the cows. As I said last night, in many religious systems, major festivals, just like recently there was this Bakrid, they celebrated by killing animals. But we celebrate Hare Krishna. We celebrate the fair. Are you comfortable with English? Hindi anuvad ho raha hai wahan pe. Agar aapko chahiye. But we celebrate the festival by worshipping the cows. So what a difference. on this day the cows, they're decorated, given nice food. But in some other religious systems, they think a festival means to kill the animals. What a difference of consciousness. Festival means everyone should be very happy. So some people think that happiness means killing animals. If we eat animals, that's nice. What a difference in consciousness. But in our Vaishnava system, when we think everyone should be happy, that means, first of all, Krishna should be happy. Our happiness rests in Krishna. And Krishna, he thinks that the cow should be happy. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Enjoyer, and he cares for everyone, but he specifically, personally cares for the cows. That means he becomes the servant of the cows. Everyone is the servant of Krishna, but Krishna personally looks after the cows, takes them out, protects them, sees they have nice food, washes them. Krishna is Gopal, the protector of the cows. So we can please Krishna by pleasing the cows. Of course, today is the day of worshipping the cows, but it's not just once a year, and then the rest of the year send them to the slaughterhouse. What a horrible feature of modern life. It's unimaginable. See, all these Gandhi and Nehru and so many, they were working hard for India's independence. But if they'd have known that modern India would be the India that they got independence from, they would have far more cow slaughter than when the British were here. Nehru, he wouldn't have cared. He would have been happy, probably. But Gandhi, he wouldn't have... So many. Sardar Patel, now they made a statue. Sardar Patel in Ahmedabad. Although making a statue is a completely Western idea, to have statues of prominent people. So the British, they were more sensitive to the sentiments of the people. They one of the cornerstones of their policy in ruling India was to try not to upset the religious sensibilities, because they knew that people care a lot and about religion, and therefore you have to try and keep the people peaceful in that way. You can exploit them in other ways, but not the... In the beginning, this East India Company that was ruling India, they didn't allow missionaries to come because they didn't want them to disturb the people. They just wanted to do business, that's all. So they didn't encourage cow slaughter, but under independent India, they've made cow slaughter just part of the way of life. And even in the states where it is banned, which is most states, it goes on practically openly. In Karnataka, they made a big thing recently that they're banning cow slaughter, but it still goes on openly. So, while celebrating Govardhan Puja, we should consider also what a great task we have in spreading Krishna consciousness. Here in India, it's a natural field for spreading Krishna consciousness. In other countries, it's much more difficult. Those who have not been overseas and tried to preach Krishna consciousness in the Western world, they can't understand what a difference there is, or how difficult it is to bring people into Krishna consciousness. They see devotees coming from the West. And they presume that, well, okay, the devotees in the West, you can preach there, but it's not, it's much more difficult to bring people in. Even now, people are much more open and favorable to Krishna consciousness than they previously were. I was just in England, in Nottingham, one city there, and the devotee who I was staying with, Pundarik Prabhu, he's a doctor by profession. So he had just been promoted to be in charge of several clinics throughout the city. So he said that he commented to me that even though they know that he's a devotee of Krishna because he goes to work with Tilakon, him and his wife. His wife is from, you know them? Did you meet them? His wife's from Karamsad, which is the next village to Vallabhvidyanagar. She's Gujarati. He's of English extract, whatever that means nowadays. So times have changed. That it's, there's no overt social stigma associated with being a devotee of Krishna in the Western world. At least not. At least that's what he found. Whereas it was very difficult in the early days of this movement in the Western countries, even to be a devotee in any way. You could get arrested just for being a devotee. It happened to me several times, and what to speak of others. So, not that they could put any real charges against you, but just for harassment. So times have changed, but still, India is the best place for spreading Krishna consciousness because it's natural to the culture here. But this cow slaughter is very much part of modern Indian life. Some very sinful aspects of modern Indian life. Cow slaughter is one. Mass abortion and contraception is another. So, while celebrating Govardhan Puja, we do so very happily, but also very sadly, knowing that in this country, where in this country at least, cows should have been protected. In other countries also they should be, but especially in this country. Maharaj Parikshit, he was prepared to kill the personality of Kali for beating a cow. What to speak of killing? If even one cow is killed in the whole land, it's a great blot on the whole country. And what to speak, that hundreds of thousands are killed. So festival means we should be happy. But it's difficult to be fully happy knowing that these horrible things are going on. Now the politicians are getting ready for the next general election. Next year, sometime next year. But none of them are going to stop cow slaughter. One particular party might make propaganda about it, but they don't actually do anything. In fact, when they were in power, they would open more slaughterhouses than during any other period. Because the whole emphasis is on money. And in the eyes of the farmer, if you sell a cow, then you get money. The fact that you have to go to hell, they don't consider, because they don't believe in all these things. It's an atheistic atmosphere. So this Varnashram, we have to make Varnashram communities protect the cows and establish that money is not the goal of our life. The goal, we should live for dharma. Dharma means to live in a way that is in harmony with the workings of the universe and and the desire of Krishna. So living for dharma means you cannot kill cows. There's no question. I remember seeing as a child in a newspaper in England an advertisement for a famous charity called Oxfam. Ox comes from Oxford, city in England, and fam means famine. So their aim is to alleviate famine. So we used to read about the great drought and famine that was going on in Bihar. Later on, when I went to Bihar, I asked people about the drought and the famine, and they never heard of it. But we used to hear about it in the news every day in England. So there was an advertisement, and I can remember seeing it now. There was a talking about the famine in Bihar, and there was a photo of an old man looking very thin with all his bones sticking out, lying down on a charpoy. And there was a cow standing next to him. And the advertisement said, the message was like this, that you should give money to us because we're not just feeding people, we're educating them. He's just like this man, he's starving to death, and there's a cow right next to him, and he won't kill it. And later I thought that anyway you see, so because unlike in England where they stick their old people into old folks' homes or prisons for people to die in, they don't see people when they're... But when people are very old and they're almost ready to die and then they don't eat, and anyway they become so thin that all their bones stick out. And you see it in India all the time because they don't have this thing of sticking people away so that you can't be reminded of the fact that you yourself will have to go that way. And they don't want to have to look after old people because they're too busy enjoying themselves. And they don't want to see the old people like that because they'll be reminded that, well, there's no enjoyment, it all ends up like that. So there's an old man lying there with all bones sticking out. Well, that's just normal. It doesn't mean that he's starving for lack of, well, starving for lack of food, yes, because he can't eat, he can't digest, he's ready to die anyway, and everyone has to die. So this kind of attitude that we should kill the animals, but even if it had been that situation, the man was dying, he'd prefer not to eat the cow. That is laudable. Just recently I came across some philosophical thing I was going through, and someone gave the example of innate human tendencies. And they said that, well, it's just axiomatic that any human being, it doesn't matter who they are, they'd rather eat scrambled egg than coal. I thought, well, wait a minute, I think I'd rather eat coal than scrambled egg. Scrambled egg, I don't have it in India, but it's an egg preparation. So I thought, yeah, I'd rather eat coal. And actually, you can eat coal as an Ayurvedic, of course, not lumps of it, but there's for diarrhea and dysentery, this charcoal. Have you seen this Himalaya company? They make tablets out of that, Diarex. It's all black. And if you take that, your stool becomes solid and firm and black. You know about that, right? They taught you about that in medical school? Isabgol and charcoal. charcoal's a medicine for diarrhea and dysentery, both, is it? So they just presume that people would prefer to eat eggs than coal. Well, charcoal's not exactly the same as coal. It needs a few million years more to become coal. But who wants to eat eggs? Dim, boiled dim. If you go in Bengal on the trains, yeah, someone will be going around selling boiled dim. Dim means egg in Bengali. The other word is anda. You say that in Hindi, is it? Anda. What's the Hindi word? Anda, yeah. In Bengali you say anda or dim. So, we have a lot of work to do. People are celebrating Diwali. They don't know why, what. Nothing religious. So, people like festivals, but all right, but put Krishna in the center. Don't make it just secular. Our friends, our family, we have a festival. Now they promoted these birthday parties in India. There was never there before. But all completely secular, nothing to do with Krishna. Nothing to do even with any demigods. And there are other festivals in India. We're not connected with Krishna. Not directly connected, like Shivratri, Durga Puja. But put Krishna in the center. And Krishna, he put Govardhan and the cows in the center to demonstrate the principle of Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param. Tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Lord Shiva, when he was asked by Parvati, which is the best mode of worship? Even she didn't know, and people are worshipping her. In this world, people worship Parvati more than Krishna. Directly or indirectly, everyone is worshipping her. They're worshipping the material energy. But she couldn't work it out. And Lord Shiva made it clear that the worship of Vishnu is the best. But he said, even better than that is worship of that which is in relation to Krishna. So Krishna himself shows. He didn't say to Nanda Baba that, now you worship me. He said, worship Govardhan. So the Vrajavasis, they worship Govardhan instead of Indra. Indra got angry. And Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill to protect Vrindavan and the people and the cows from the wrath of Indra manifested in terrible rain. Therefore, Krishna's name is Giridhari, lifter of the hill, holder of the hill. Or Girivaradhari, we sing. Yashoda Nandan, Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaradhari. Girivaradhari means Giridhari. Girivaravar means the best. So, Girivar means Govardhan. Girivaradhari. So, Krishna, he showed this pastime. The Vrajavasis, they could be very thankful to Indra for giving them this difficulty, because as a result of this difficulty, they all had the opportunity to come together with Krishna, which they could never do otherwise. Krishna, sometimes he's with his young gopi girlfriends, and sometimes he's with his mother and the elderly gopis, but not at the same time, generally. When he takes breakfast, then Radha, she cooks that. But she stays at a little distance. That what is that? Radhi Kadi Gopa Gopa. Krishna, he sees them, he looks, he can't look at them directly. But in this Leela, they were all together. All the elderly gopis, younger gopis, cowherd boys, cowherd girls, all together for 7 days, seeing Krishna. And even though Krishna showed this amazing pastime of lifting the mountain, amazing, yeah. If you see Govardhan, it's a big, long mountain, but at that time it was much higher still. Now Govardhan is slowly sinking into the earth, out of separation from Krishna. Govardhan is sinking at the rate of one mustard seed per year. So it's a big hill, Krishna was holding it up. But the residents of Vrindavan, they just took that to be something normal, because they're used to that. Whenever there's any problem in Vrindavan, and there were many problems, as soon as Krishna came, the problems began. So many demons would come to attack. But Krishna just finished them all off. So they expected that Krishna will protect them, and he did. And even though they could see Krishna's opulence in being holding up the hill, because they thought he's our boy, he's one of us, so they didn't think of it as anything wonderful. They didn't start any philosophical analysis. Well, maybe sometimes they did. Maybe he's a demigod. Maybe he's got some special mystic siddhis, but they weren't a very philosophical bunch. They just loved Krishna. Krishna, of course, he can lift much bigger things than some hill. He's holding up the whole universe. Very easily. Without any effort, Krishna holds everything up. Even nowadays, there are some things like this, which the people who are what they call scientifically minded, they won't believe that a young boy can hold up a hill. But even nowadays, there are so many things which people who think themselves scientifically minded, they cannot explain. Recently, there came out, at that time, there was a man who was 68 years old in Ahmedabad who hadn't eaten or drunk water for, 30 years or something. So they can't deny it, but the scientists, they're not going in and they don't even try to understand it. Although it goes against all their scientific theories that it could be possible. So we're very happy to celebrate Krishna's pastimes. And the so-called scientists, they won't believe it. They'll call this stupid, but they'll make some movies about Superman and Batman and Harry Potter and all this kind of thing. And people, at least at some level, believe it, because you wouldn't watch the movie unless you had some level of at least theoretical belief in it. Tentative belief, conventional, what's exactly the term? There's probably some philosophical, psychological term for that. So, for all their cold for all their cold-hearted atheism that these people are trying to promote. People have a natural tendency to believe in things beyond the everyday. The scientists may call it a delusion, but they just start out with the premise that only what they say and only what they believe is acceptable as reality. So we shall celebrate Krishna Lila. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who plays a flute and looks after cows. Yes. No need of any great logic here. It's beyond all this logic. Krishna is just enjoying. He doesn't need a certificate from the university. You are allowed to do this and you're allowed to do that. Well, our philosophers have decided that God can do this and God can do that. But he's not under your jurisdiction. He does whatever he likes. And you have your big philosophy, and then you become a worm in stool. So what's the value of your philosophy? Already they're just like worms in stool. So that's a great treasure of this culture, that here in India, that people, they can believe this and accept it, and they don't need big philosophical discussions. That is their great fortune. Although they may, due to wrong education, start to doubt all these things and become atheists. And then that's another symptom of the increase of Kali Yuga, how people are just becoming atheists. They say, bhasmi bhutasya deha. The body just becomes ashes. There's nothing more. Kim puna agamano bhavet. Just when you die, that's it. It's finished. The body is burned and you never come back. And they like to believe that, but it's not a fact. So, people are fortunate to have a tendency to believe in this and accept it. In the face of all of this atheistic propaganda, we have to give proper understanding also of why we worship a God who holds up hills and plays a flute, and who himself worships cows. I think the Muslims, they won't like this. They say you should only worship Allah and no one else. But not only do we worship Krishna, accepting him as the Supreme Lord and all his devotees, but we also say that Krishna himself, the Supreme, is also worshipping others. Oh, they won't like that. We have the tendency to worship because we are part and parcel of Krishna. We have the same tendencies. He also has the tendency to worship. We worship someone better than us. If we don't offer our propensity to worship to the proper person, namely Krishna, then we offer it to a cricket player or a film star or a politician or a football star if you prefer football to cricket. I'm saying cricket because we're in India. But Krishna also has that tendency, even though he is undoubtedly the supreme, but he sees others as greater than him. That is his tendency, that actually Krishna is supreme, but he sees others as greater than him. He sees his devotees as greater than him. Aham bhakta paradhino. He says, I'm dependent on my devotees. So this all can't be understood simply by philosophy. One has to come close to Krishna by bhakti. One has to be one in heart with Krishna. And then we can understand. Just like the mother understands her child, not by going to some psychology course, but it's a natural relationship. So she understands his moods, whether they be reasonable or unreasonable, the mother understands. Because she's so intimate in the loving relationship. So this way we can come close to Krishna. All right, Hare Krishna. More later. I'll speak some more later. Ah, yes. Is Govardhan a devotee or is he God himself? Haridasa Varya, we find in the Bhagavatam. He's called the best of the devotees. But also it's stated that Krishna himself took the form of Govardhan. So he can be both. Balaram is the greatest devotee of Krishna. He's also the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's serving in all respects. We worship Govardhan as good as Krishna. The land of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. So both. Should our ISKCON devotees take part in cow protection rallies? Yeah, there's a lot of hoo-ha about cow protection. A lot of it has strongly communal overtones, the idea that it's the Muslims, it's all their fault. And now the Christians also. But as the Muslims will point out, it's only you Hindus who are selling the cows to us. If the Hindus didn't sell the cows to us, then we wouldn't have any cows to kill. This cow protection, as I see it, you can have any number of rallies, and you can pass any number of laws, but it will go on unless two things are addressed, which no one's even thinking of addressing. One thing is, I already spoke about that just now. We live in the culture of money, where money is most important. So, as long as cows are seen only as economic units, then they'll be slaughtered. As long as this culture of industrialization goes on, cow slaughter will go on. That also, the industrialization. Actually, even in the West, prior to World War II, meat eating was not nearly as much as it is now, because it was the development of the industrialized society which made it possible with producing more feed by using oil-based chemical nutrients, the Green Revolution, which made growing food more possible. Of course, in the longer term, that's been seen to be a disaster, but initially it looked very good. So more feed was possible. Then mass slaughterhouses, mechanized slaughterhouses, transport, refrigerated transport, so you can bring the meat from one place to another. In England, when I was growing up, the most commonly ate meat was lamb from New Zealand, which is halfway around the world, literally, from England, and ham and bacon from Denmark. So the fact that we could get ham, bacon and pork, pig's meat, from Denmark. So that wouldn't have been possible unless there was refrigeration. Of course, you can have salted meat, which lasts without refrigeration, salted and smoked. That wouldn't have been possible without the modern industrialized society. So Srila Prabhupada recommended going back to a more simple way of life. And that looks like it's going to happen anyway when the oil runs out. The whole modern civilization is based on oil. Now they're working on extracting oil from shale. So that's one factor. Unless the whole society changes, then cows are going to be seen as economic units. Instead of people farm with tractors, which means there's most of the bulls, they just get killed at a young age. And the cows, when they stop giving sufficient milk, they also get killed. But if the farmers are working with the animals, just like they form a relationship with them, and they won't want to kill them. The animals become just like their friends. They won't want to kill them, and there won't be a market for that if there's not this industrialized society. And also, if money is not all in all, because people, if you have to get money so you can buy cell phones and TVs and go on holidays and money, 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 money. So that's one factor. Unless the whole society, the economic setup and the whole outlook of society, which is based on getting money to enjoy yourself, unless that is changed, then cow slaughter will go on. Another factor here in India especially is that cow slaughter will continue unless we can convince the Muslims and now the ever-increasing Christian community to stop it. So we have to convince them. And of course the Hindus also, because nowadays Hindus are also starting to eat beef and they don't care. But the main people we have to convince are the Muslims. It's not impossible. I read recently that cow slaughter is forbidden in Iran. And because the slaughter of bulls is forbidden because they're considered valuable for the for agriculture. I don't know how true that is, but I read that. So they're tough ones. Changing the whole economy and convincing the Muslims. We don't have to tell them to stop eating beef. We can tell them, we'll give you beef free. Just don't kill the cows, that's all. Wait till they die, then you can take. That's all. Don't kill them. If you want to eat beef, well, we don't recommend it, but we don't expect that everyone's going to stop eating meat, but just don't kill the animal. Let them die naturally. Collecting funds for cow protection works against cow protection. Because if we advertise that the cow is an economic liability, then we'll see the cow as an economic liability. When we see the cow as an economic asset, then we won't want to kill the cow. And the cow is not just for the milk that she gives as an asset, but also for the... Even when she stops giving milk, the dung and urine are very valuable. And they have various uses, not least as excellent fertilizer. The cow goes in the forest and takes the grass, which is no use to humans, and processes it into first-class fertilizer, which is a better way of getting fertilizer than going off the coast of Bombay, drilling beneath the ocean, bringing it back to shore, processing it in a chemical, petrochemical plant, and making a fertilizer which in the long term causes more harm to the soil than good. So a better way of doing it is to let the cows graze in the forest. Of course, there's not much forest left, that's another problem. And the forests, they're full of eucalyptus, and the eucalyptus leaves are all over the floors of the forest, and they don't rot, which means other plants can't grow up underneath. Another ecological disaster here in India, the widespread planting of eucalyptus. But anyway, the cows, they can graze and produce first-class fertilizer, which also, of course, well known in India as an excellent fuel, cow dung. And after it's used as a fuel, it can still be used as a fertilizer and has other uses also. And of course, cow urine, apart from being a fertilizer, can be utilized in various ways as an excellent medicine. So all this should be propagated. The cow is more valuable economically alive than dead. I can't hear what you're saying. Well, to build a goshala is one thing, but to maintain, you may need to collect some money to build a goshala. But to collect for the maintenance of cows is even that in the beginning you might need to do, but it shouldn't be for a long, as a permanent policy. Goshalas inside the city, yeah, you may need to purchase grass. But mostly cows, they're not meant to live in cities. They're meant to live outside the cities. Unless a city can be a garden city where there's plenty of parks and gardens also. But we're getting a bit into details here, which that should be more suitable for a seminar on this topic. Yeah. Selling a cow, one milkman to another milkman. It would not be done normally. Cows can be given away, but not sold. Not in a normal dharmic culture. Anyway, let's not get into all the details. We'll leave it there. Hare Krishna. Shri Govardhan Puja Ki Jai. Shri Govardhan Dhari Bhagavan Shri Krishna Ki Jai. Shri Anakut Mahotsav Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.